Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Exchange. This is Cheryl Castile. My guest in the studio today, Jiro Hatano. He is from Nara, which is near Osaka, Japan. Jiro made his way here to Louisiana back in the 90s, coming to New Orleans, and then actually headed back here after he made his way to Southwest Louisiana, went back and had been working in the computer industry with Panasonic in Japan, quit his job, ended up coming to school here right on the campus of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. He's now living back in his homeland of Japan. But while he was here, he had fallen in love with the culture of the Cajun and Creole people and really did a lot more direct studying with that and learning as much as he can and actually, you know, teaching a lot about that too. He is now writing about our music from this area. One of the publications is the Blues and Souls Record magazine that is published in Japan. So it's great. He's here visiting, so we got him in the studio. And Jiro, it's great to have you here today.
Thank you so much for inviting me here.
Oh, you bet. It's wonderful. You started before... You know, we'll talk about your time here spent at UL. Mm-hmm. But you started coming to Louisiana.
Yes.
Back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
How did that come about? And I guess more so when your maybe love for music that came out of this state.
Yes. I was born in 1968.
Yeah.
So I spent my high school and college time during the 80s. So that time, American music and American movies were pretty popular in Japan. So for me, a kind of pop culture music represent American music and American movies represent pop culture for me.
That's right. So. Was there a specific movie that you saw that introduced you to this area, to the state of Louisiana?
Not exactly movie, but I like the movie Stand By Me.
Okay.
And I like the music of the Rolling Stones.
Got it.
And Chuck Berry.
Okay.
And Tom Waits.
All right.
All of them sing about New Orleans.
Yeah.
So I was interested in New Orleans at first.
Now, at that time, I do know you also play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start playing guitar?
I started playing guitar when I was 14 years old, I think.
And did you start on acoustic or electric?
I think both, almost same time.
Okay.
I started with a Led Zeppelin and a kind of Van Halen or...
You liked how Eddie Van Halen was playing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like kind of 80s sound.
Sure, okay, all right. And did you play in bands back in Japan?
Yes.
When you were a teenager?
Yes, I played the blues band when I was college student.
Okay.
And I played a lot of blues music.
All right.
Then I knew about New Orleans and Zydeco and Cajun also.
Okay.
But at that time, I didn't know about where Louisiana.
Okay. But you knew about the music.
Yes.
Yeah. How did you learn about, I'm thinking of, more so about Zydeco music? Did you know you knew about it before you ever came to visit in Louisiana?
Actually, I knew about Clifton Chenier.
Okay.
And some other musicians, but I thought just a unique rhythm and unique instrument.
Yeah.
So I didn't know the history or actual live performance.
Yeah.
Would you hear it on
the radio or
from record or CDs?
Okay, that's where you okay.
No,
got it. Okay, all right.
I think so. After that, I visited New Orleans, and then I visited New Orleans Jazz Festival.
Okay,
and I saw the performance of Buzz Chavis and Bo Jock and Steve Riley.
Okay, so, that's nice that you got to see, you saw Buzu that time?
Yes.
It was nice that you got to see Buzu and Bojack,
mm-hmm.
You know, while they were still,
yeah.
You know. Very nice. I thought, you know, I remembered because I had met you actually, Jiro, quite when you had first ventured over to this area.
Mm-hmm.
And that was back in the 90s when I first met you.
Yes.
At that time, I remembered you talking about Sun Pie.
Yes.
Also.
Yes. I saw Sampai Burns at the Jazz Festival.
Okay.
And his performance is pretty unique.
Yeah, it is.
So, and he plays accordion, and he did a kind of different performance from other Zydeco musicians.
The first time that you came to Jazz Fest, mm-hmm. was there a specific performer that you really wanted to see, or performers?
Yes, I like Gatemas Brown and Snooks Eagling.
Ah, okay.
I saw them. But one of the most impressed performance was Sunny Landreth. But I didn't know about Sunny then. But
You didn't know who he was before Jazz Fest, or?
I knew about him a little bit.
Okay.
And I play guitar, but I didn't play slide then.
Okay.
But after Jazz Festival, I experienced Sunny's music.
Yeah.
I started play slide. Now I play on this slide.
Because of Sonny. What year was that?
That was 1996, I think.
Okay. All right. Did you have a chance to go hear him? Well, I don't know if he was playing live at any clubs after Jazz Fest while you were here that time, or?
No. I just heard his music at the Jazz Fest site at the fairground.
And then did you go buy all his CDs he had out?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, he, there are so many people that, I mean, I remember the first time I saw him was Festival International here, I think first year that I had moved here. But the way you talk, and especially guitar players, that's a memory that sticks with them the first time they see him play, because his style is so unique.
Yes. And actually, I played in the blues band, so I played some slide also then.
Yeah.
But it was too much trouble to change tuning or something.
Sure.
And it was not easy to play minor chord with major tuning.
Okay.
But Sunny does.
That's
pretty
right.
Much a good one.
That's right.
So I was really amazed.
Yeah. So. Well, you brought in, part of what we're going to do today is we're going to kind of do a trip down memory lane for you of, you know, you're starting to spend time here in Louisiana. And one of the songs that you brought to play was Sunny's South of I-10.
Yes.
What is it about that song that stands out for you?
That is, Sunny introduces by himself in that song.
Yeah.
And I thought about what is South of I-10?
Sure,
and
yeah.
What kind of place South of I-10? So I wanted really to go to the South of I-10.
Yeah.
I really wanted to see South of I-10.
What that was all about.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's hear him do it in his song South of I-10. This is Sunny Landreth.
I woke up in Mississippi in 51. Migrated next door, became a native stepson. Grew up on the rhythm of Clifton and Cleveland and the red hot Louisiana band. Rocking my baby through the 70s road in 81. 30 years old, turning me loose and yet holding me close. Life was a waltz that wouldn't let go. Hold on, don't stay. Come on, let's dance. Come on, let's dance. South of I-10, we really had it made. Lafayette boomed till they capped offshore, then the oil families couldn't take it no more. A two-step too fast with one foot slower, I lost my partner when we hit the floor. Hold on, don't stay. Come on, let's dance. Come on, let's dance. accordion was starting to smoke. With a gold tooth grin and a laugh and a shout, he said, I feel like a jet, y'all, we're taking off now. So rock me high to the ups and the lows, till the music stops and it's time to go. Accept this dance for the life we know, and we'll get back up when we hit the floor. Alone don't stay, alone don't stay. Come on, let's dance. Come on, let's dance.
Right, that was South of I-10, Sonny Landreth. And if you're just joining us, my guest in the studio today is Jiro Hatano. So yeah, Jiro, I mean, Sonny, we talked, you made a real big impact mm-hmm. on your life musically.
Yes.
And, you know, you talked about spending a lot of time getting to know more about,
yes.
about his music.
Mm-hmm.
Did you start studying his style of playing? I mean, really focused on his style of playing? You know, you talked about you had never played slide.
Yeah, I would try to catch as much as from him.
Yeah.
So I watched his video, and I listened to his CDs. And I think at that time, not many magazines explained about his technique.
And this was, well, prior, the internet, I guess, was just getting to be big, like in what, mid-95 or so, it just starting to where you
right,
could
right
yeah so that was a good time to start, you know, where you could
yes.
but you didn't get as much back then as you could now on the internet, you know,
pretty much everything.
Yeah, that's right. But besides you, I mean, he's got quite a reputation, and he's very popular in Japan.
Yes,
it's not just you.
He's pretty popular, and he came to Japan end of the May. And I saw
this year?
It's this year.
Oh, okay.
And I saw his performance, and then
yeah.
came here.
Okay.
And before that, I interviewed with him over the phone, and I wrote the interview article for the magazine.
And so, yeah, because that's one of the things you're doing now with the Blues Magazine out of Japan.
Yes.
Is that who, that's who you did the interview for?
Yes.
Okay.
I did interview for this magazine.
Yeah. You know, that's... when you decided the first time you came here to this part mm-hmm. of Louisiana, was that based on a festival time? You know, you had been going to Jazz Fest in New Orleans and touring around New Orleans,
yes.
and then you decided to come visit this part of Louisiana.
Yes.
Was that because of Sonny?
Not only Sonny. Okay. I was really impressed by the Zydeco musician and Cajun musician's performance.
Okay.
So I really wanted to it was not easy for me to travel from New Orleans to South Louisiana
yeah.
because that was first time for me to drive in the United States.
Yeah.
And we usually drive left lane in Japan.
Sure.
But we got to drive right lane here.
Yeah.
And driver's seat also opposite
yeah.
side. So it was big challenge for me. But I wanted to see the scenery or eat food,
yeah,
and talk food. Talk with someone,
yeah,
somehow.
The first time you came to this part, did you come by yourself, or did you have other people you traveled with?
I came with my friend,
okay.
a kind of bandmate.
Okay,
and I visited your store.
Yeah, that's the first time I met you, mm-hmm. is you guys came, it was three of you.
Yes.
It was you, Aki,
yes.
who at that time, I mean, he played the
piano.
New Orleans-style
yes.
piano all over the country of Japan.
Yes.
And that's what he still does for a living.
Yes.
Like Professor Longhair.
Yes.
Dr. John style. Yeah.
He's a kind of specialist of the
that's
New
Orleans-style
right. piano in Japan.
Very talented
yes,
musicians.
And very good entertainer.
That's right.
He's
and
funny.
Your friend Q was with you.
Yes.
And she was a classically trained violinist.
Right.
And I remember that day because you came in and my father-in-law, Hadley,
yes.
sat down and played
mm-hmm.
with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she blew him away.
Mm-hmm.
And then Aki sat in with them. I think David Egan was playing with them at Randall's that night.
Yes. Right.
And so David got up and let Aki sit in, and
mm-hmm.
and I remember both of them blew everybody away.
Same thing. Both of them were very impressed, and they are very happy to meet with you, Mr. Hadley and David Egan.
Yeah.
So.
What?
They are still talking about it.
Yeah. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, you know, the friendship developing at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun being around the excitement that the three of you had
mm-hmm.
for the music and the
yes.
culture in this area. When you started visiting here,
mm-hmm.
then, Jiro, and spending more time here,
mm-hmm.
what all was it about this area that, I mean, really made you want to move here for a period of time?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe what things about here are similar to the culture that you grew up in?
I felt... Actually, people were almost same as here and my country.
Yeah.
Many people are conservative.
People they what?
Conservative.
Okay, very okay, conservative.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
And but we help each other and we like to eat.
Yeah.
So especially we eat rice and seafood. So,
yeah, so that was a similar thing
yes.
for you. Family's real important.
Yes, family relationship and a kind of neighbor relationship is pretty important in here and in my country also.
Yeah.
I thought a kind of we have a similarity.
That's right. You know, I remember, too, you bringing a book one time that was all written in Japanese
mm-hmm.
that was about crawfish.
Oh, like a children's book or something.
Yeah, it was a children's book,
maybe.
And it was in about crawfish.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you can still find, the crawfish? Would people eat that around there?
We don't eat, but we can see crawfish, especially this timing, in the June and July,
yeah,
in the rice field.
Back in Japan?
Yes.
Yeah.
But we don't eat.
Okay, but people don't farm those like they do here.
We don't eat.
Okay.
But I love crawfish, so I want
You should
to.
Start that when you go back.
Yes.
You should.
I was talking about the Japa Cajun restaurant.
Ah, a Japa Cajun.
Here and there.
That's a cool idea. I mean, because, you know, you think about the farmers from this area who,
mm.
you know, then learned how to do those dual crops.
Right.
You know, and what that has done for them just business-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Huh, well, that's you need to consider that.
Yes, maybe my next step will be a kind of business relationship between Louisiana and Japan.
That's right. Well, and I'm curious, people don't eat crawfish. What do people think of crawfish in Japan?
Some kids have crawfish as a pet.
Ah, okay.
And actually, I fished, I use a kind of dried squid.
Okay.
And I put on the water, and crawfish catch that one. And I can catch the crawfish.
That way.
So I catch crawfish with dried squid.
And then do you eat the ones that you catch back there?
No.
No.
Just I play with.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, so you don't...
Like wrestling or...
Oh, okay.
Like a crawfish festival thing.
Yeah, it's how they do the races or whatever,
uh-huh.
the crawfish races.
Yeah.
But, people wouldn't... And so the idea that people wouldn't consider eating them, is it because they're viewed more as pets or they think that they... The taste or you just...
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because not many people in United States even eat crawfish.
In this area. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Now, where I grew up in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. when my father and his brothers were kids, mm-hmm. and we grew up in the Mississippi River, okay. they had small ones up there. And in some of the, it was a big brewery town, and so mm-hmm. there was a lot of local taverns, and they would do crawfish boils.
Oh, really?
On Sundays there. And that's when my dad was a kid. Okay. They would make extra money.
Oh, really?
Going and getting those out of the backwaters.
Almost same as here.
Yeah, but you don't see them. And I don't know what that's about or what's happened over time, but you uh-huh. certainly don't see them like when my dad was a kid. Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's not something I remember seeing much growing up.
Okay.
So.
Actually, the crawfish in Japan was originally imported as a food, I think.
Oh, really? Okay.
So same kinds of crawfish.
Sure. Okay.
So I think maybe almost 100 years ago, yeah. they imported and they ate it. But they quit yeah. somehow. I don't know why.
Yeah. Huh. Well, when you get that restaurant going, you'll find out. When you came here to visit the first time, mm-hmm. you talked about, we're talking about some of the musicians that you met at that time.
Yes.
And I know Goldman Thibodeau was somebody that...
Yes.
Did you know about Goldman before you came to Southwest Louisiana to visit?
No, I didn't know at all about him.
Yeah.
Just I knew him when I started the research of Creole music.
Okay. And was that before you came here to school or?
Oh, during my school.
During your schooling
yes.
here. Okay. Let's talk, I'm curious how that decision came about that I am going to, I mean, because that was a big life change for you.
Yes. Actually, the reason to decide to come here
yeah.
was not so positive reason because I was working as a engineer,
yeah.
computer engineer, and my life was pretty busy and pretty tough, and I didn't have time to eat lunch almost 3 years.
Yeah, all you did was work.
And yeah, I was really exhausted. I was really tired.
Yeah.
So,
do you know, Jiro, I remember your friends talking about that, mm-hmm. about you, Q and Aki.
Yeah.
Especially Q talked about that with you.
Mm-hmm. So I thought I have to change my life somehow, and I quit my job. And I thought, what should I do from now? And it was maybe the last timing to do what really I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I decided to come here and to study Cajun and Creole culture.
Yeah. That was a good change for you.
Yes.
Let's listen to, we're going to listen to a cut that you brought in of Goldman Thibodeau. But before we hear it, you picked out the song Goldman's Hard Times.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something specific about that song that has some meaning
yes,
to you?
Because he tells his story in this song.
Yeah.
And I and Paul Scott and I made the video clip of this song for him. So we spent time with Mr. Goldman then, maybe to make a video.
Yeah.
So this song is a very good memory
yeah.
for me.
All right, well, let's listen. This is Goldman Thibodeau and the song Goldman's Hard Times.
Thank you.
cannot say yes. God, I want to let you know that my youth is bad and me. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is yeah. He's out of the land to die.
That was Goldman Thibodeau, Goldman's Hard Times. If you're just joining us, this is The Exchange. My guest today is Jiro Hatano, and we're on 88.7 FM, KRVS. You can find us on the web at krvs.org. And we're here on the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. Please check out the website. You can help support the station. You can pledge securely online. And you can also get all kinds of great information from the website. So please go check that out at krvs.org. But as I said, my guest today is Jiro Hatano. And if you didn't hear the beginning, Jiro is from Nara, sits right near Osaka, Japan.
Yes.
And we're talking about the period of time that Jiro did move here and to come to school here at the University of Louisiana Lafayette, right here on this campus. You know, you were talking, Jiro, that you realized in your life that you needed to find out that there's more to life than work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coming here to school,
mm-hmm.
Was that difficult for you at first? Because it's a different kind of routine. And especially, you're in a whole other country.
Yes. Actually, I felt some difficulty to communicate with people because my English was much poorer than now. Still now, my English is poor. But
no, you can tell. I mean, your English has gotten pretty good. You've done a lot of work.
But then, it was hard for me to listen to the people.
Yeah.
And even it was difficult to tell something to people. But it was okay. It was a big challenge and very fun challenge for me.
Yeah.
And I had even when I go to some restaurant to buy lunch, it may be difficult to order my food, but it was more interesting and more fun to buy or eat food. So
yeah,
I didn't feel any difficulty or trouble.
What did you learn early on when you moved here about, I don't know if it's just about Louisiana or the United States, about living here? Were there some things that surprised you that you weren't expecting?
Pretty much everything, but
yeah.
Especially about the music, they play 4 hours a weekend, a day.
You mean for a gig, for a dance?
Yes, from 9 to 2, 9, 10, 11, 12, 9 to 2, or
yeah, that's actually
9
longer.
To 1, or 10 to 2.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's pretty long.
Because a performance in Japan would be about how long?
About maybe 1 hour and a half or 2 hours.
Okay, all right.
And we have to pay more than $20
to see a performance.
Yes.
And to see a performance of somebody who lives local?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Even if I play at a club, I may have to charge around $20 maybe.
Huh.
It's too expensive to enjoy music.
Yeah, yeah.
So I learned how to enjoy music or life, not spending much money.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good thing to say.
Yes.
That you learn to enjoy life not spending much money.
Right.
You know, people, I think, forget to take advantage of just some of the natural everyday things that are
right
out there.
Maybe now many people spend too much money in weekend.
Yeah. When you were talking about the music, and when I think about enjoying things that don't cost a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
Do people do things like jam sessions in your country?
Sometimes, but not much.
Yeah.
Actually, here many musicians do jam session, and a kind of great famous musician also come to join the jam session here. So that is pretty great to learn music.
Yeah, that is. That's a different thing here, isn't it? You can be sitting in a jam session and somebody who you have so admired up there on stage also walks through the door and sits down.
Especially for the jam session or the Louisiana folk roots and Blue Moon Saloon.
What, do you remember a time being at a jam session when that experience happened for you? Or somebody that you really admired, that you, first time you saw them come sit in on the jam session?
I don't remember a special kind of jam session, but for me, I play guitar usually at the jam session. So a kind of jam, guitar player is a kind of a rhythm section.
That's right.
And a kind of support the music.
Uh-huh.
So I could see the jam session from the third person's view, I think.
Sure, sure.
So maybe it made a different viewpoint from the accordion player or fiddle player.
Yeah.
So I could observe the jam session scene.
That's right.
So that was good for me, I think.
You know, and that's what's nice about the jam sessions here is that it allows people the opportunity to come in at all kinds of levels.
Yes.
From somebody who's just picked up an instrument and play with somebody who's doing it professionally.
Yes.
It's a good way to learn.
And even they dance with a jam session also.
They dance with a jam session. How about in your country dancing? Do you see, or in your part of the country that you live in?
Actually, I think we don't dance.
Okay.
If we dance once a year or something.
Okay. Do you know, I remember, though, you giving us a video tape of a band that you, and I'm not sure if it's still the band you play in now, but a band you played in, and you did the music from this area.
Yes.
You did a concert.
Yeah.
Was that well received? Did people enjoy?
I think they enjoyed. Just they don't dance.
Yeah, yeah.
But they like to listen to Cajun zydeco music. They like.
What was interesting at that time is I remember my husband and I, Blake, watching it and recognizing the tunes right away, but they were being sung in Japanese.
Oh, yes.
Which was a really interesting you know, concept, you know.
Actually, I don't play with band now, but my friend, his name is Yoshitake.
Okay.
He visited here last week.
Okay.
And he played accordion at many crowds here.
Yeah.
And he sang some songs in Japanese.
Okay.
So he's still playing in zydeco band in Japan.
Okay.
And some songs are in Japanese.
Wonderful. Okay. Yeah, that was that was interesting, you know, to listen and to watch that. When you came to school here, what were some of the things that you really wanted to learn about the culture? What did you want to go away with?
Actually, I wanted to learn everything.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, so my major was general study.
Okay.
Because I can take the classes, what I wanted to take. So I can take music class and history and English and French and anthropology and everything. So I really wanted to learn pretty much everything about culture of this area.
Yeah.
Food and folk tales and traitor and nature.
Did you meet with some traitors when you were
yes,
here?
Actually, last week, or the week after last, I interviewed with Miss Becca Begnum.
Oh, you did? Yes. Okay. All right.
That was a pretty good interview.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a gifted woman.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have traitors back in Japan? Do you have healers?
I think they used to have, I think, but not popular now.
Okay.
And that kind of healer was considered as like a magician or something like that. I don't know where about my culture.
Sure, okay, all right. That's an interesting comment you just made. I don't know a lot about my culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, learning more about the cultures here, is that making you pay attention more to things back home?
Yes. So, actually, I still now, I don't know much about my culture.
Yeah.
I think I know much better about Louisiana culture than my
that's
culture.
Right. Yeah.
After I came back to Japan, I studied a little bit my history again and about my hometown.
Yeah.
So that was a good thing for me.
You know, I think for a lot of people, going to live away or somewhere else makes you start to appreciate some things and start to get curious about, you know, where you grew up. You know, a lot of times you take that for granted, you know, what you were doing. You had also brought up Hadley, and you had brought one of his songs to listen to. Mm-hmm. Did you learn some of the French language?
I took French classes.
You did, okay. Here at the university?
Yes. But I forgot a lot.
But say that again. You did what?
I forgot.
You forgot what
a
you
lot.
Did. Well, you, when you don't practice, I mean, I'm a victim. When you don't practice that,
right?
I'm a good sign for that. If you don't practice the language, it's hard.
I forgot.
Yeah. Is French spoken at all in your area of Japan?
Maybe almost not at all.
Yeah, okay. All right. What about English?
We have a lot of English words in Japan, and we can see CNN in English.
Okay.
And now we can listen to KRBS through internet.
That's right.
So we have a lot of opportunity to listen to or talk in English, I think.
Okay. Well, you had picked out Hadley's song, 200 Lines, I Must Not Speak French.
Right.
What's the meaning for that song for you?
This was a kind of big shock for me. And if you spoke French in school, you are punished. That kind of thing was pretty much shocking for me.
Yeah.
And every story, like Mr. Hadley or Mr. Goldman, tells is very shocking and interesting and impressed for me. So, and as same as Mr. Goldman's hard time, this song also from his experience. So
tell us what that was like.
Yes.
All right, well, this is Hadley Castile, 200 Lines.
Sur le bayou, en une vieille maison d'engagés, y avait l'écran tout partout. Malgré on était si pauvre, papa lui nous a dit, j'ote va aller à l'école quand même, il faut que je travaille jour et nuit. Sur le premier jour à l'école, la maîtresse nous a partis. Il faut plus parler français, c'est bien défendu. Moi et mes cousins et mes petits amis, on pouvait pas parler un seul mot en anglais. Le soleil, c'est ça, pour j'écris pour elle. Le mes doigts, ils sont des embouts. Le soleil va jamais comprendre pourquoi. I must not speak French on the school ground anymore. Thank you. française, la maudite loi a passé. Une partie de mon culture, ça voulait détruire. Ils sont proches de Jésus, ça c'était pas bon. Mon héritage, il s'en va avec le bon. Il y a du monde aujourd'hui, ils s'en vont s'appeler Kadji. Les Américains les a beaucoup bien embêtés. J'ai parlé avec ma cousine deux semaines passées. Elle est parle plus de français depuis l'ambiance laissée les envies. Le soleil, c'est sa peau, j'écris pour elle. Le soleil, mes doigts, ils sont mes seins et proches. Le soleil, tu vas jamais comprendre pourquoi. I must not speak French on the school ground anymore.
That was Hallie Castile with 200 Lines, I Must Not Speak French. And this is the exchange. My guest today in the studio is Jiro Hatano, who now is spending a lot of his life as a writer.
Yes.
Reviewing CDs, interviewing different musicians, writing about, and a lot about the music of this area.
Yes.
Yeah. And the publication, the name of that, that you're writing for now?
Is a Blues and Soul Records magazine.
Okay. And now, is that magazine actually based out of Japan?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe only published in Japan?
Oh, it's only published in Japan.
I think, but you may be able to buy from amazon.co.jp. Not .com.
Oh, okay.
Japanese version of Amazon.
Yeah.
They have this magazine.
Now, are you able to... So, you being back in Japan, and what's great is, you know, when you open the magazine, I'm looking at, you have a couple copies here, and it's actually a very nice magazine. It's like a small book, is what they... It's a very nice publication. But I love how they have so much of it, the titles and all that is in English, but then all the stories and everything in Japanese, in the Japanese characters.
Mm-hmm.
You do interviews with people here while you're over there. Are you doing that through the internet? How are you doing that?
Oh, this time, actually, I interviewed with many people during this visiting.
Okay.
Jackie Etienne.
He
plays great drum.
Sure, yeah.
In Excel Recording.
That's right.
And I interviewed with Horace Trahan. And
had you interviewed Horace before?
No. This is the first time for the official interviewing.
That's right, because that's one of my early memories of you is Horace. I think of Horace when I think of you.
Yeah.
You know, from the earlier times when you would come to visit. Because that's when Horace and his band, when he started playing... really adding in Zydeco and everything.
Right.
It had really
surprised.
Taken off at that time. What surprised you?
Well, just I thought he is a Cajun musician.
Sure.
And traditional Cajun musician, I thought.
Which he was.
Yeah. But I saw him at El Cido's first time.
Yeah.
And he played Zydeco.
That's right.
So it was a big surprise for me.
Yeah. What did you, in this interview that you did with Horace, what did you learn new?
I learned how he told me about pretty much everything about his life.
Yeah.
And what he wanted to do. So I understood his music and what he's thinking more and more now.
Yeah.
So that will be the article on the magazine.
Well, now, is it anything, though, that people can read? Is this translated? Like these articles out of here, are they translated anywhere in English?
No.
Okay.
But I think I have to do.
Yeah, you do.
Maybe.
Because it would be fun for people here to be able to read what you're writing.
Right.
Is this something that you had wanted to do for a while, to write about music before you came to school?
Oh, no, I didn't at all. During my school era.
I'm going to interrupt you for 1 minute. And I do want to say that here, when you graduated from UL, you graduated with honors. Yes, you did.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I did need to let people know that.
You did, though,
graduate with honors from here.
So,
but we were talking about when you,
I started to write article for this magazine.
Oh, while you were going to school here?
Yes.
Okay.
So then I interviewed.
And how did you set that up?
My friend is a writer of this magazine.
Okay.
And he introduced me to the editor.
Okay.
So my first article for this magazine was Sunny's CD's review.
Ah, okay. Which CD?
And
how long ago? I'm trying to think of how long ago that was.
That was Grant Street.
Okay. All right. Live from Grant.
Yes. And I was there.
When he recorded it.
Yes.
Ah, very cool.
So that was best timing for me to start it, to write article.
Okay. And how long has this book been in publication, this magazine?
I think this magazine changed the name, but first one was published maybe in 1960s, I think.
Okay. So what you're doing for them, you try to, like when you come here, you try to get as many interviews in as you can to kind of spread those out.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you recording them? Is that how you're doing the interviews? You're using just
video recording.
Yeah. Oh, you're doing a video recording.
Yes.
Okay.
That helps me to write article more than just audio.
Now, when you were going to school here, you worked with Dr. Willie.
Yes.
On production.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes.
Piece that you did?
He had a project of the Lara to Zadiko DVD.
Yeah.
And he was teaching, he's still teaching audio and DVD production. And so his classes helped me to learn recording and field recording and to make DVD or videos.
Okay.
So that was pretty good for me.
That's a nice production that you guys did with that.
Yes.
That had to really teach you a lot.
Yes, pretty much a lot.
Because there's a lot of musicians you worked with on that.
Yes.
And that's from Lala to Zydeco is the name of that. It's a beautiful cover, too.
Oh, yes.
Francis Pavi did the artwork for that. Have you done other video productions? Now, I know you said that you did the one of Goldman. You and Paul Scott had worked on that.
And J-Board's, what's that name? Come Over.
Oh, you did a music video for J-Paul.
Yes.
Okay.
But that was kind of just one or two cameras.
Yeah.
And quality was not so good, but it was pretty good experience for me.
Are you doing any of that back in Japan now?
I don't do now, but I'm trying to do video works and music. So I want to make my music video now.
Sure.
So I'm shooting video now. You know, whenever I'm riding the vehicle, I'm holding my camera. And I'm shooting the scenery of Louisiana now.
As you're driving.
Oh, my friend is driving.
Oh, that's
now.
Good.
My
daddy
is driving. So
I was just picturing you, driving with your camera.
Oh,
going.
It's not easy.
Yeah, that's right. Now Horace would be a good one to do a video with.
Yes.
He would be an interesting guy. You brought in the song that he had done, "Keep Walking."
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about why that song.
I listened to that song maybe 5 or 6 years ago when I was still living in Lafayette.
Okay.
And I really wanted him to publish that music. and he eventually did 2 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to listen to
see that
one.
He did that. Yeah. Well, let's listen. This is Horace Trahan and Keep Walking.
What if we quit looking down on one another? And what if we stop putting burdens on each other? Ain't we all in the same boat? So please don't rock the ship. But when we look down on each other, we ain't nothing but some hypocrites. But one thing we could do, only thing we could do, yeah, we're gonna keep walking and keep on walking. We ain't never looking back, pushing, keep on pushing. Don't let them push you down. They're nothing but a bunch of Pharisees. It's sad to see, and it's so sad to see such hypocritical tendencies in the people in the world today. We gotta keep on walking. Tell you what, that if you love your brother who always loves you back, so what credit is that to you if you ain't never cutting me no slack? Said ain't we all in the same boat, so please don't rock the ship. Cause when we look down on each other, we ain't nothing but some hypocrites. But one thing we could do, only thing we could do, yeah, we're gonna keep walking, keep walking, and keep on walking. Ain't never looking back, pushing, keep on pushing. Don't let them push you down. They're nothing but a bunch of Pharisees. It's sad to see, and it's so sad to see such hypocritical tendencies in the people in the world today. We gotta keep on walking. Just keep walking, keep walking.
All right, we've been listening to Horace Trahan, and that's his song "Keep Walking," off his last CD. And it's been such a great pleasure to have Jiro Hatano here in the studio today. Were you able to spend time in this studio when you went to school? It was the old studio.
Yes. Pretty much old one.
Yeah.
I liked that one.
Yeah, oh, it was. I mean, I like them both.
Yeah, me too.
But that had it. There was a charm about the old place too. Did you do some production work at all when you and Robert were working on that DVD? Where did you guys do the production work at?
Oh, in the studio of the music department.
Oh, okay. All right. I've never seen that one.
That's good.
Yeah.
And he told me he got some grants, so studio has been improving more and more now.
Yeah. The other thing, since you've been here now too, separate from music, is that you also ventured into sports, which is like my love. and who else did you interview while you were here?
Oh, Mr. Jim Bakke.
Yeah.
He's a huge, huge baseball hero in Japan in 1960s.
Yeah.
And he did no-hit no-run, and then he won the like a best pitcher's prize, like a Cy Young prize.
In Japan.
Yes.
Yeah.
But here he's a ordinary old man. So that's a pretty funny situation for me.
Yeah, I bet. You know, here's somebody who's such a big I mean, that happens with so many for people in different professions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that in their home area they're just my next door neighbor,
right.
And in another country, they're a
superhero.
That's right. That's right. How did you learn? You always knew about him before you moved here?
I knew about him a long time ago.
Yeah.
But actually, I knew about him during my school here, but I didn't know how to contact with him.
Yeah.
And this time, Miss Becker, she told me. He's her a kind of has a relationship.
Oh, with Becca Bagnell?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So she introduced him to me, and she took me to her home, his home, and I interviewed with him.
Fabulous. So
he's really great.
People can watch for that. Yeah, what a thrill to meet him for you.
Well, I was really glad to meet with him.
Yeah.
Because he's a superhero.
That's right. That'll be a good story you can go home and tell people.
Yeah
they'll really get it. Well, Jiro, it's been great having you here today.
Thank you so much.
Look forward to whatever projects that you continue to work on. And it's such a great service that you do for the musicians from this area mm-hmm. by writing about them mm-hmm. Back over in Japan. Mm-hmm. You know, you help... help everybody's profession, and for the state of Louisiana too.
Oh, it's